You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller, and today we have a special guest, Lee Strobel, who I'm sure that our listeners are very familiar with you, Lee, as you've written The Case for Christ, but there's a new movie out about your life, and I just have to ask, what is it like to have a movie made about you? I've been trying to get my own screenplay out to Hollywood, but...
I tell you, it's a surreal experience to see some of the scenes from your life portrayed in the big screen with great actors and great actresses. Some things that are not so pretty, things that in my life as a journalist, the movie is honest in portraying how I was what I was really like, and then those great moments as well. So, we watch the film and we both kind of cry at points and laugh at points and kind of shake our heads and say we can't believe that this faith journey is now going to be on the screen for everybody to see.
Yeah, this story tells your life, and that's got to be pretty surreal to see on a screen, but really it tells a greater story as it tells of your discovery of who Christ is and the validity of what the Bibles actually teach about him. You wrote the book, The Case for Christ, and tell our listeners a little bit about that struggle that the story tells, but also that is really an integral part of your testimony.
Well, you're right. I was an atheist for much of my life, trained in journalism and law, and it was really my wife's conversion to Christianity that made me very upset and angry and confused and prompted me to take my journalism and legal training and investigate whether there was any credibility to Christianity. In real life, it was a 2-year process. Of course, that's been compressed for the film and time shifted and so, but it really tells the story of my a marriage which went through a very difficult phase when my wife was a Christian and I was an angry atheist. We portray what that's like, and a lot of people are in those kind of situations where they're married to someone who's not a Christian, and it causes some difficult dynamics at times. It's a story about a father-son relationship and how that affects a person's spiritual journey. It's a story about big city journalism and a crime story that I investigated along the way of police brutality. Ultimately, it's a story of a spiritual investigation. My journey to investigate whether there was any credibility to Christianity. And, one of the things that's unique about Christianity among world religions is that it invites investigation. Apostle Paul said, if the resurrection isn't true, your faith is futile. It's worthless. So everything hinges on whether it's true, whether it actually happened in time and space that Jesus returned from the dead and thus established that he is the unique Son of God. And so in the film, I pursue that issue. Can we investigate the resurrection historically, which I believe we can, and ultimately coming to the conclusion, as I did in real life, that the evidence for Jesus having risen from the dead is powerful, it's persuasive, it's clear, it's compelling. And it was through that my life, as I met Jesus personally through that, was changed forever.
I think it's interesting because so often we think that we have to protect the kind of the creeds of the Bible and the stories. We have to defend it with our fervency of faith. But you said something that the Bible and the writers of the Bible accepted skepticism. They welcomed it because the truth of the scripture is not just something that we can defend emotionally and spiritually. It's something that we can actually defend intellectually as well.
Absolutely, that's true. In fact, when John the Baptist started to have questions and a little bit of doubt when he was thrown in prison, and he sent his friends to ask Jesus, are you the one we've been waiting for? We'd wait for somebody else. Jesus didn't get mad that John asked questions. He didn't get mad that John expressed some hesitations about his identity. He said, look, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. In other words, go back to John, tell him about the evidence you've seen with your own eyes that confirms that I am the unique Son of God. And so Jesus didn't get mad when people ask questions. I think this is a faith that says we make certain claims about things that happened in history. Well, guess what? History can be investigated. We can check things out. It's not the same as Hinduism. It's not the same as Buddhism. You get lost in the mists of time if you try to get the roots of those faiths. And besides which, they're not really historical faiths in that they're based on real events that actually occurred in time and space that can be investigated. So Christianity is kind of, you know, one of the few religions that's like that, and it really offers us an opportunity to use our intellect and to become satisfied with our minds as well as our hearts that it's true.
Now, your book, The Case for Christ, has been used for many years now, decades now, as a resource tool for Bible studies, for group study, for people who have been handing it out to their friends to say, examine the truth of Scripture. It's been very evangelistic in that regard. How do you see that this movie will maybe even be used in that same way?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, the book, as you say, has been out for quite a while. It was originally published in 1998. We just now have published an updated and revised and expanded edition. This is the first time I've done this. Added a new chapter to it, updated the archaeological findings and some of the manuscript evidence and so forth. And that movie edition of the book is coming out this month and will be available with updated information as well as a great cover from the movie and some information about the movie inside. But our hope is that this film will reach people who may not read a book. You know, some people are readers, some people aren't, and maybe they won't go to church, but, you know, they might go to a film, and maybe that film would light a spark in them, ignite something to cause them to go on their own spiritual journey and do their own investigation and consider whether or not this might be true. I think for a skeptic like I was, for an atheist like I was, often the key moment is that moment when we say, God, I don't believe you're there. In fact, I'm convinced you're not. But if you are, I want to meet you. That, and I call that the skeptic's prayer. And I prayed that as an atheist. I didn't believe God was there. I was convinced he wasn't. But I don't lose anything by saying, God, if you're there, of course I want to know you. And I think that is the kind of seed of faith that God can work with. And that cracks the door open a bit. And I'm hoping that people who come to the movie, maybe they will or maybe they won't ever pick up the book. But the book will give them a lot more depth of the evidence. But, you know, some people, this will be all they need. And we're going to see people, I believe, because the gospel is in the film. And it's clear in that movie what we need to do to come into a relationship with God. My prayer is that people will begin their journeys. And some people may culminate a journey with the film and come to faith in Jesus.
You know, I think it's a valuable resource to show people the validity of the Word of God, the validity of the story of Christ, the man of the center of all Scripture. And we need this in this time in our culture today where there's so much skepticism and there's so much within the interwebs of saying that there's all these doubts and credibility issues. And you had, of course, Dan Brown's books that came out, and all of those things to attack the validity of the story of Christ. It's great to have it to where we can expose it and show people that it can warrant their questions.
Well, I think the good side of these recent books that have come out, Dan Brown and books by people like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens that attack Christianity, ultimately, I think it's a good thing because it's stirred up discussion, it's stirred up debate. You know, Christians have an unfair advantage in the marketplace of ideas. We have truth on our side. That's a big advantage. And so when Christopher Hitchens, the great atheist, debated William Lane Craig, my colleague at Houston Baptist University, on Christianity, even the atheist commentators conceded that the Christian, in their words, spanked Christopher Hitchens. So, you know, the evidence wins out in the end. The facts win out in the end. And the fact that some of these atheists have become more vocal in recent years, I think has really caused the church to react and to say, we need to do a better job of educating our people on why we believe what we believe. Ultimately, that's a good thing. It emerges, I think people emerge with a stronger faith once it's been tested that way.
And as people come and see the film, they will be entertained. They will be, they'll laugh along with the story, and they'll certainly be moved and caught up with the story as you discover the truth of what the Bible actually says about itself and what it claims about Christ. But I'm curious to hear, what was it like sitting there watching your story play out on screen?
Well, I remember when we were watching on video as they were actually filming some of the scenes on the set, and the scene where I come to faith in Christ, I literally was holding my breath as I was listening through earphones and watching on a video monitor as they were filming the scene inside of a house, because God showed up in that moment. And Mike Vogel, who plays me, and Erica Christensen, who plays my wife, were so authentic and so real, and just, which, you know, can be cheesy sometimes when you see a prayer in a film. This was so authentic, so real, that after the scene was over, Mike Vogel, the actor, came out, and I went up to him, and I just burst into tears, and I hugged him, and I whispered in his ear, "Thank you, Mike, for being honest, for being real, for showing things the way they are, and expressing your heart through this film in a way that shows what my heart was like when I first opened it to God." So, you know, we've been very emotionally entangled in this film. In fact, my wife has watched the film now. We have it on our computer that the PureFlix has sent us. She's watched it half a dozen times. And when I asked her, "Why do you keep watching it?" she said, "Because I want to get all cried out so that when I see it in public, I won't cry." Because there's a very emotional moments for us. The death of my father is in the film, and the birth of our son is in the film. And the difficulty, the tumultuous relationship that Leslie and I had when she was the Christian and I was the atheist is in the film. So for us, it's a very emotional experience. But we're prayerful that God's going to use it as He's used the book to touch lives all around the world in ways that, you know, I can't personally talk to people, but God can use film to accomplish the same thing.
We've been talking with Lee Strobel, the author of The Case for Christ and the character study in this latest film from PureFlix called The Case for Christ. Lee, thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Well, I appreciate that. Great opportunity to be with you. God bless you. I hope people on April 7th come to see this remarkable film.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.